And we all are very familiar with verses 9 and 10. Most Christians have them memorized. But I want to look at the whole context this morning, starting in verse 8, if we could, of Romans chapter 10, and just walk through it together. But here in Romans chapter 10, we'll start there in verse 8. The Bible says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So I'd like us to focus today on the gospel of peace. Let's pray. Lord, what a blessing it is to be here today to recognize the hard work of these young ones. And Lord, the hard work of all the leaders and teachers, their willingness to serve you by serving others. Thank you. And Lord, now as we open your word together, we pray that you would use it in our hearts and lives. Lord, if there's someone here not born again, may they realize they must be born again. That's why Christ died and rose again, so they could have eternal life. Lord, of those of us that are Christians, may we realize how important it is that we get the gospel to the lost. Have your will in our hearts. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. That verse 8 is where we began. It says, the word of faith which we preach. When we preach the gospel to the lost, that is their opportunity to place faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He refers to it as the word of faith. Amen. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, if you want to turn there quickly. But this is how people get saved. If you're saved, this is how you got saved. You heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of faith, and you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, as the only one that can rescue you from your sin. The word of faith. Notice Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Paul said, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." The gospel that we preach has multiple names in the New Testament. But one of them is it's the gospel of the grace of God. We live in the age of grace, praise God. And God's grace is what led him to come to earth, live a perfect life as the perfect man, and die as our substitute, and rise again for our justification. It's only through God's grace. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And he refers to it here as the gospel of the grace of God. But to be saved, we must hear this word of faith. Notice Paul says in Romans 10:8, which we preach. Which we preach. He's not talking here about preaching in church like what's happening right now. He's talking about each Christian's responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the preaching he's talking about. And we are to go out there and preach the word of faith, the gospel, which we will talk more about in a moment. And when people hear the gospel and they place their faith in Jesus Christ or their trust, they're saved. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, if you would, and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12. Notice what God says here, how he equates trusting and believing. Here in Ephesians 1:12, he says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So here he refers to the gospel as the gospel of our salvation. The word gospel means good news. And he says that when we heard the gospel of salvation, we trusted, we believed. And what happened? We were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, that salvation. It all comes back to hearing the gospel, as he refers to it here, the word of faith, and believing it, and thereby placing our faith in Christ. Look back in Romans 10 where we were, and that's where we get 9 and 10, which is the two verses that many Christians have memorized. It's part of what many refer to as the Romans road to salvation. But he says here in verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe. So there's that word believe again. Believe. Place your trust, as we just read in Ephesians 1. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised it from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. To be saved, to be rescued. You've heard the word salvation. We are saved from our sins. We are saved from the consequences of our sins. But to have that, we must believe, as it says there. We must confess that God is right, His gospel is true, that Jesus did come from heaven as God, the Son. He did live a perfect life. He did die as our substitute. He did rise again from the dead. We must confess that to be true, and we must believe it in our heart. And what happens? Thou shalt be saved. Amen. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee in John 6:47, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. We hear the word of faith and we believe the gospel and we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth, there's that word believe again, unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice what the Lord says here. We believe unto righteousness. What does that mean? Well, to be saved, you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner. Otherwise, what are you getting saved from? You're getting saved from your sin and the consequences of your sin, which is to perish in hell forever and ever. We're being rescued from that. And the good news is when we do trust Christ as our Savior, God not only rescues us from our sin, but He then does the most amazing thing. He declares us righteous because we become part of Jesus Christ. And that's what He means when He said, believeth unto righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 24, and we'll see this. When we hear the word of faith, when we believe in our heart, when we confess the Lord Jesus, place our trust in Jesus Christ. God says we are believing unto righteousness, that we are believing the gospel. We're placing our faith in Christ. God then makes us righteous. Romans chapter 4, verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. That word imputed, he's talking there about how God takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ and imputes it to our account. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God declares us righteous in Christ. It's the most beautiful thing. It's called justification. God didn't have to do that for us, did he? He could have righteously just let us all perish in hell because that's what we deserve. But no, he not only saves us from our sins, he then makes us or imputes to us righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now that part of Romans, most Christians know quite well. Especially 9 and 10. But it's interesting to me how a lot of Christians don't know verse 11. Which tells us that once we have confessed with our mouth, once we have believed on Jesus Christ and trust in Him as our Savior, what does the Bible say? Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. He's immediately now saying, once you are a Christian, once you do have the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to your account, you're going to heaven now, you have eternal life, what does God say? Don't be ashamed. He's saying, you heard the gospel because someone shared it with you. Someone shared the word of faith, the gospel of our salvation. Someone shared it with us, didn't they, when we got saved? He's saying, you know what our job is now? To carry it on. Amen? To share it with someone else. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous. Who's that? That's us. We just learned that. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to our account. The righteous, it says, Proverbs 28:1, are bold as a lion. Where'd that boldness come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit who moves in when we get saved. Look at the disciples. Look what happened when they took Jesus from the garden. What did they do? Did they stand up for Christ? No, they disappeared. They ran and hid. And Jesus had to come find them after He rose from the dead, hiding out. But then look at the disciples post-Pentecost. What happened at Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came down. Jesus promised He would. And He said, you shall receive power. Amen? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Post-Pentecost, they're not running anymore. Now they're bold. Now they're preaching to everyone about Jesus. And thousands of people are getting saved. What made the difference? God did. Amen? And God says that if you have been saved, if you have received the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you are not ashamed. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen? And then look at 2 Timothy 1:8, if you would. And so God is telling us as His children now that have believed the gospel, that have confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus, have believed in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, we've been saved. We now have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He says, we're not ashamed. 2 Timothy 1:8. Look what he says here. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. That's what a testimony is. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ, but tell others. And then you know what he does? He expounds upon that for us. In verses 14 and 15 of Romans. Let's turn there. How then shall they call on Him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? This is God's order of things for the past 2,000 years. Is we are sent. Amen? Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. In Luke 24:47, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. John 20:21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Amen. Every gospel. We get to the book of Acts. You shall be witnesses. Verse 8. Every gospel, the book of Acts says, you're sent. So that's been God's plan. We are sent. What do? We preach the gospel, which we've just read. What happens with the sinner that gets saved? They hear the gospel, they believe, and they call on Jesus Christ, and what? They're saved. It's a beautiful Bible word, that word saved. But Jesus said, I want you to go. And think about what He's saying. If you start at the end of 15 and work backwards. Oh, and by the way, here's another name for the gospel, which is our title, the Gospel of Peace, which we'll talk about in a moment. But if you work it backwards, how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, we've all been sent. But He's saying if we won't obey that command, then the preaching isn't going to take place, the preaching of the gospel. And then he says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, if we don't obey the command to go because we've been sent and we don't preach, then people aren't going to hear. How shall they hear without a preacher? And it says, how shall they believe if they've not heard? You see the progression here. It's all about them hearing this great thing called the word of faith, the gospel of our salvation, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of peace. If you work it backward, he's saying people need to hear. And if they will hear, what do they do? Verse 14, they will call and they will believe. But first they have to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they won't hear if people won't preach it. And people won't preach it if they're not obeying the command to go. Acknowledge that they've been sent. This phrase, gospel of peace, that's a beautiful phrase. But look at Romans 5:1 if you would. What the Bible teaches is not only do we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to our account when we are become Christians, but also now we have peace with God. Now the world is looking for peace. They're looking for world peace. They're not going to have it until the Prince of Peace comes and sets up his peaceful kingdom. Now Christians are also promised the peace of God. That's something that only God can do in our hearts through the Holy Spirit as his fruit. He says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about until we get saved, we are at enmity with God because of sin. There's a wall separating us from our Creator who's holy, and that wall is called sin. And when we get saved, the Bible says God breaks down that wall of partition between us. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's what God does. He gives us peace with our Creator. Where we were at enmity with God, we now have peace with God. Look, if you would, at Colossians 1:20. And the Bible shows where that peace comes from. The gospel of peace brings a peace that nothing else in this universe can bring. That is the peace that comes from salvation. Notice Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. Isn't that beautiful? How is peace made between man and God? It's not made by doing good works. It's not made by going to church or getting baptized. It's only made through the blood of the perfect Son of God. Now think about how often you talk to people about heaven and hell and God and so forth. How many times people say to you, well, I believe I'm going to heaven because I... And you can finish the sentence. Keep the commandments. Good to my neighbor. Been a pretty good person. Go to church. Got baptized. Do you know what they're saying? They're saying that they believe they have something that they can offer to our Creator that is equal to the blood of his only begotten Son. That's blasphemous, isn't it? Nothing can compare to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that is the only thing that can bring peace. As it says here, peace through the blood of his cross. Nothing else can bring peace between man and his Creator but the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why he refers to it here in verse 15 as the gospel of peace. We are made righteous, but first we have to hear the gospel. We can't hear it unless someone preaches it to us. And if someone will believe their calling to go and tell others and preach the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of our salvation, the gospel of peace, and people will hear it and they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. And that happened for every one of us in this room that's a Christian. We're saved because someone shared the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ with us. And we believed it. We trusted Christ. We got the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are now at peace with our Creator. We can go directly to Him and pray where we couldn't before. We can enter into His presence where we couldn't before. We're going to spend forever with him in heaven, which wasn't true before. So much happened. But it only happened because someone shared the gospel of peace. And that is our job. He says in verse 11, we shall not be ashamed. If we are ashamed, there's something wrong with our heart. And he says in verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? We're all preachers of the gospel. And how shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet. Amen. If you're willing to obey God's command and go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, God says you have beautiful feet. The feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. There's nothing, no better glad tidings on earth than the gospel of peace. And you know, we hear so much about glad tidings here in these Christmas songs here at the Christmas season. Those are the glad tidings. God loves us. He loved us enough to come to earth and become a man, to die in our place, to rise again for us, and through that offer us the righteousness of Jesus Christ, peace with God. God offers all that to us. Isn't that just amazing? It all starts with Christians, God's children, being willing to not be ashamed, but to share the gospel of peace. If you're here today and you're not sure you're a Christian, listen. God's done everything for you. He doesn't say you have to do this or do that or earn salvation. He's already paid for salvation. That's why he calls it a gift, the gift of God. It's eternal life in Romans 6:23. But that doesn't mean you don't have to do your part, which is, as we've seen here, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. You must place your faith and trust in the gospel, in Jesus Christ. Acknowledge God is right and true, and that God's way is the only way. Those of us that are Christians, God says, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. We should never be ashamed to tell others that God loves them. Amen? And that he gave us eternal life, and that he will do the same for them if they will but confess and believe. The beautiful gospel of peace, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of our salvation. That's our job, is to now take it. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your precious word, this beautiful passage about the gospel of peace. I pray, Lord, that we'd be willing to fulfill our mission from thee, Lord, that we've been sent to preach. And may we do it. The rest we will leave with you, what people do with the gospel, but may we get it out there. So those of us that are Christians, Lord, may we acknowledge that we will not be ashamed. Lord, anyone who's not a Christian, may they acknowledge that your ways are the only ways, and that Jesus is the only way and the truth and the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by him. And may they trust Christ even today.